Hello and welcome back to the Man of the Match podcast. Finally, our second episode. It's been a while. I've been very busy lately, but I'm back now. So a lot of stuff has happened since I have been gone. There have been a lot of transfers to major clubs. There have been a lot of games that actually start to matter in Europe have actually begun to happen, and other stuff has happened. Yeah, so starting off with the transfers, Lewandowski went to Barcelona from Bayern Munich, which was huge. Lewandowski basically, like, his career just exploded at Bayern Munich, and leaving there after so many years is a big loss for the club, for Bayern. But also, it's good because they are getting a lot of money in return for a 34-year-old player. Yeah. So, and then also De Ligt, Mathis De Ligt, they use some of that money to spend on Mathis De Ligt from Juventus. He's still a very good center back, probably one of the top in the world. And I think he can one day be one of, like, number one, the best in the world. So very good signing for Bayern. Rafinha went to Barcelona. Very good. He's young. That's definitely an upside. And yeah, he's good. He played for Leeds last season, and now he's going to Barcelona. Next, Federico Bernardeschi. I talked a little bit. It was a rumor at the time in the first episode, but he officially has gone to Toronto. Him and Insigne, the two Euro 2020 winners in Toronto, sounds very, 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 very dangerous and forced to definitely be reckoned with in the MLS. And then Di Maria went to Juventus from PSG. Obviously, Messi being there, I think Galtier, the new manager, probably wanted him out to give more playing time to, probably, in my opinion, the best soccer player to ever live. And and they're getting a little bit of money for him in exchange. So obviously I keep talking about money. That's good for the club who is selling the player, due to the fact that they can spend those money on other players to become a better team. Another big transfer that I feel like not enough people are paying attention to, Paulo Dybala going to Roma. Roma is going to be a very, very dangerous team this season. Dybala is a great signing. He played for Juventus. He was all right. Wasn't, like, amazing. He wasn't, like, the best thing we've seen from Serie A in a while. But he was good, and that's honestly what Roma needs right now. So, yeah, that's a pretty good signing for Roma. Now let's talk about fixtures. So a little bit of games have happened, obviously most of them friendlies. There was one near, like, obviously I live in New Jersey, there was one in our state, Harrison Red Bull Arena, Barcelona versus the Red Bulls. Actually, The Rock was there, so that was pretty cool. It was, I think, Barcelona won 2-0, and the Red Bulls had 10 men. But that was pretty cool to see. I was not there. I wish I was. But the Community Shield did happen, which is a yearly competition between the winner of the FA Cup and the winner of the Premier League. Liverpool won the FA Cup last year. Let's go. And Man City won the Premier League. And Liverpool actually won 3-1. Nunez scored in that game. So did Salah. And I forgot who else. But if you watch the game, like I did, I watched a little bit of it. Trent Alexander-Arnold. Fact check me on that, but I believe Trent Alexander-Arnold scored the other goal for Liverpool. But it looked like Liverpool was in control most of the game. Obviously, still a little too early to tell who was the more dominant team. Obviously, we're just getting started. But this kind of still does mean something. So that's why I feel like these matchups between the the domestic trophy, cup trophy winner and the league winner, the top flight league winner, they're not, like, appreciated enough, and I feel like they deserve more appreciation in that, like, they're not just a preseason match. Next, moving to Germany's version of that, the DFL Super Cup, which was contested between the winner of the DFB Pokal and the Bundesliga, which was RB Leipzig won the DFB Pokal, and RB Leipzig won the Bundesliga last year. Bayern won 5-3. I saw the end of it. I did not see the entire game, but Bayern definitely did very well near the end. That's one thing I can say. And I think that Bayern is going to be dominant for the 11th year in a row. Next, moving on to the Trophy de Champions. Tried it with the French accent there. But it was contested, obviously, between the winner of the Coupe de France and Ligue 1. The winner of Ligue 1. And PSG won Ligue 1. And Nantes won the Coupe de France. And PSG won 4-0, as they should. Messi scored a goal. He was also man of the match, so very good for Messi. Obviously, a little bit of a disappointment his season last year at PSG. But definitely a good start for PSG, obviously seeking that Champions League. So we'll see what happens, honestly, during the season. And that is where I move to my predictions. So, turns out, I really didn't know what to talk about this week. And it also turns out that that the Premier League and a lot of other major leagues are starting in like 3 days. I am recording this on the 2nd. So, here are some of my predictions for Europe's top flight leagues. First, starting with the EPL. This kind of has a bias to it, but it doesn't. Obviously, as I said in the first episode, I am a Liverpool fan. That is a quarter of the reason why I am choosing them to win the EPL. A huge reason I am choosing them to win the EPL is because I feel like this is their year. They've come in second the last 2 years. The last time they won was 2020, 2021. They also came in second. No, I think it was third. Fact check me on that, please. And then last year, obviously, they came in second, losing on the final day. But I feel like after that, it's definitely going to be their year. And City in second. City's going to come close, definitely. I will say that. But not close enough. Haaland, I don't know why, and maybe I'll explain this in a future episode. I do not think Haaland is going to perform as well as people have said he will. That's a huge reason. They let go of a lot of people, and I don't think Haaland is going to fill that gap. I've Chelsea in third, and for good reason. Their attack looks a lot better this year with Raheem Sterling. I, however, do think they're going to let go of Christian Pulisic. He has just not been performing that well for them. Their defense looks a lot better with the new signings they've made. And, yeah, this year is going to look pretty good for them, I think. Speaking of signings, number four, I will put Arsenal. Due to the fact that this year, they're actually going to have somewhat of a competent attack. I feel like Jesus is going to fill that void that Lacazette and Aubameyang have left for a while at Arsenal. They were not that good. And Jesus is honestly not one of the best in the world. But I feel like he's going to do good enough for Arsenal where they're going to do pretty good. He's going to help the team. He's going to push the team forward. That's why in fifth in the Europa League spot, I have Man United. Even if they have Ronaldo for this season, which obviously I'm filming this, I said on the 2nd, it's still uncertain. I do not think they're going to be that good of a team. They haven't made many signings. That's obviously, you know, your team can make like zero signings and still be good. But United, I feel like this season really needed to make a little bit of changes, and they just haven't done that. They've signed Eriksen, but at most I think he's going to be maybe starting, maybe be on the bench. I don't know. I don't feel like they're going to be very good this year. They were not very good last year. I feel like that's going to be the same thing. And in sixth place, I have Tottenham. Now, Tottenham is a difficult situation because you have one of the most underrated players in the world on the team, Heung-min Son, and you have a okay defense, a pretty good goalkeeper, and a okay midfield. Perisic was a definitely very good signing. But I don't think they're going to be better than United, but they're going to be good. I feel like they're definitely going to be good. Now that I've talked about the Premier League, I feel like it's time to mention a league that I not really have talked about. I've talked a little bit about it, but I'm going to give it more attention, definitely. La Liga. First, starting off with the winners of La Liga, I believe that will be Real Madrid. You're probably why Matt. You're like, Matt, Barcelona just signed Lewandowski, they've just signed Koundé, and they have just signed Rafinha. How are they not going to win the league? I feel like it's going to take a little bit for the squad to gel, and by the time that happens, it's going to be too late, and Real Madrid are just going to run away with it. Not like last season. I feel like it's going to be a closer ending than last season. Actually, as close as maybe being decided on the final day. But it's going to be kind of close. And the reason I say that, obviously, because it's going to take a little while. You can't just put like a bunch of players together, say, go play, know exactly what you're doing, and just win. That's not how it's going to work. While in second place, I do, as I just said, have Barcelona. Literally just explained why. And they're still a very solid team. Good signings. Definitely a good, very good transfer window that they've had. Obviously, pretty much done with signings. They might, who knows, maybe they'll get like a few more people on a free, not major signings. But I feel like they're definitely going to be a lot better than they were last season. They look very dangerous. And number three, I have Atletico. They're still a very good team with, you know, João Felix. And Suarez is gone now. But they're still a very, very solid team that I feel like will continue to place in those Champions League places in La Liga. For Sevilla. Five, Villarreal, the reason I have them at fifth compared to last season, where they, I believe they were literally like seventh, was because of that very, very, very deep Champions League run. I think that they're definitely a very good team, especially seeing them play against my team, Liverpool. They're a very good team that I think can put up a fight, definitely. So, yeah, that's why I put them in fifth. And then sixth, I have Real Betis. Now moving on to one of the lesser talked about leagues, Liga. For Liga, I'm going to have a little bit of changes. I'll only do top three because those are the only three that really matter. Number one, I'll have PSG for obvious reasons. Messi, Mbappe, incredible defense. Goalkeeping, that's difficult. We'll see how Donnarumma does this year. Midfield, still very solid. And I think they can also make a deep run in the Champions League. I feel like with like Messi now is like more of a major component now that Di Maria is gone. Definitely very, very good team. Number two, I have Monaco. They've made a little bit of signings due to the fact that they've sold a lot of players. But yeah, I feel like they're going to do better than, what is it, Marseille this year. Which is why I've placed Marseille. Still a very solid team. But not good enough to beat Monaco. Best player this season, I will say, is probably going to be Darwin Nunez. Okay, everybody calm down. You're probably like, oh my god, this guy's such a Liverpool fan. No. Let me give the explanation first. Nunez, since the moment that Liverpool has, what is it, signed him, has been, like, doubted a lot by fans, by analysts, by a lot of people. Nunez, I feel like, is what is going to be that missing, that number nine that Liverpool has craved for so many years. I feel like he's going to be that, he was that missing piece that they needed to win the Premier League title. He is just going to be, I feel like he might lead the league in scoring. I feel like, in the air between him, Salah, and Kane. He's going to be in there in the mix with Salah and Kane, as Salah and Kane have been in, like, the mix for the last probably, like, 2-3 years. It's just been between them two. And it's definitely going to be fun adding him in the mixture. Him and Haaland, I feel like we'll have good battles, and I feel like he's going to be the one on top a lot of the time. So those were my predictions for the 2022-2023 season. Go to my Instagram, me. Instagram me. Go to my Instagram. DM me at Man of the Match Podcast. Let me know what you think of these predictions. Any disagreements, any agreements. Also, any topics that you do want me to talk about, definitely let me know. And yeah, that's going to be it. Definitely go follow me on Instagram. And one last thing, ciao.